Now let's turn, please, to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And in verse 24 we read, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." I've turned to this passage in Hebrews because I want to present a message to you tonight on tithing, upon giving, upon stewardship. And this is one of the outstanding places in the New Testament where we are taught tithing. And it is explained to us here that Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He is our father. And all of the arguments of Romans and Galatians is that you and I are the children of Abraham by faith. We are in his inheritance, and we're among the stars that he was to count. We're among the sand on the seashore that he was to look at. We are the seed of Abraham by faith. And our father Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And in this passage in Hebrews, we are told here, verse 7, "And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." Melchizedek blessed Abraham. So Abraham was the lessor, and Melchizedek was the bettor. And in Melchizedek, we have a priest. A priest. Abraham recognized his priestly ministry and paid tithes unto him. Now, this passage in Hebrews proceeds to explain to us that Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what I desire to do tonight is to show you that in the New Testament, with all the emphasis of the New Testament, Christian stewardship is related directly to Jesus Christ. And all our giving is a giving unto the Lord and nothing else. Not a giving to the church. Not a giving to missions. Not a giving to the radio. It is a giving unto the Lord. And we must look at the Lord Himself in this matter. I have been expounding to you the book of Colossians. And I heard indirectly that somebody had said they wished Dr. McIntyre would hurry up and get through with it. Well, I want to assure you that I'm not in any hurry to get through with Colossians. And furthermore, if you stay with me, you're going to learn a lot of things out of that book that you've never learned before, because somebody told me this morning they never knew what I was explaining out of Colossians today. You're going to run into a lot of things that are just skipped over when you pick it here and pick it there and get a text here and get a text there. But when you take a whole book and don't skip anything, you've got to face it all. And before you get through, you've learned a lot that you didn't know before. But the one thing that stands out in the epistle to the Colossians is this tremendous emphasis upon Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. We saw that today. And our worship is of Him. And we're going to conduct our worship in the simplicity and in the order that He says we should have. "In Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and ye are complete in Him." And now when we come to this matter of giving, we come to this matter of tithing, we come to this matter of stewardship, we're right in the presence of the Lord. And everything must be directly related to Jesus Christ. Now in this passage in Colossians, or rather in Hebrews that I'm speaking to you about, there are two references to priesthoods. There is the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament economy, and it is described. And its ministry is clearly outlined so far as its merit and its purpose is concerned. It was a shadow of things to come. There is also a second priesthood which is described, which is the priesthood of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a priest without mother, without father, without beginning or ending of days. And the author of the Epistle of the Hebrews says in verse 3, made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Melchizedek was before the establishment of the Levitical priesthood under the law. He was 400 years before Moses gave the law and established the Levitical order. And Abraham came and gave his offering and his tithes to this priest who was of a different order than that of the Levitical priesthood. And it was this order of a priesthood which is said here to be established not by a law, but by an oath that Christ belonged to. And that it is to this priesthood that we as New Testament believers now look. The Old Testament priesthood of the Levitical order, we no longer are participants of as such. It has been ended. But the Levitical priesthood which has ended has now been replaced. The change has taken place by the Son of God, who is our great priest, but his order is of Melchizedek and not of the Levites. Now I want you to notice in verse 5, and verily they which are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Now that's all of the Old Testament, beloved. That's from Moses to the end of Malachi. That's the Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And in all the Old Testament, God gave a commandment to the priests, the sons of Levi, to require of the people tithes, that they might bring them in and that they might have them to use in the work of the Lord. Now we know that, we see that, we're all aware of that, but it's a commandment. And we find it here in the New Testament. But the author of this epistle goes on to say that we're not going to deal with the Levitical priesthood, we're going to deal with the Melchizedek priesthood. So that nobody can come along and say, well, now that Old Testament tithe, I'm not interested in that. That's the order of the Levites. And I see it's all there, but that doesn't pertain to me. The author of Hebrew comes along and says, you can't get out of it that way. And we're not going to let you get away from this teaching that way. Because we're going to go back to Melchizedek, where Abraham, who's your father, we're going to go back to Melchizedek, where you have a priesthood which has neither beginning nor ending of days, but is like the Son of God, and there you have Abraham giving the tithes. And that's before the law was ever established. That's before any Levitical priesthood was ever brought into being. And the point which is being made here is that Abraham gave his tithes to Melchizedek, and when he did so, he was giving them to this great high priest who was King of peace and King of righteousness. And beloved, if you want to understand Hebrews correctly, I think that Melchizedek was Christ. And Abraham, the father of the faithful, gave his tithes to Christ. Now in this seventh chapter of Hebrews, you've got two references to a prediction from the Psalms. And let's turn to it. Psalm 110. And then this 110th Psalm, we read, "Thy people shall be willing," this is verse 3, "in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." David is saying that our Savior, the Lord, is going to be a priest. But he's not going to be in the Levitical succession. He is going to be in the Melchizedek line. And as a priest, he will not occupy some earthly temple. As a priest, he will not carry on some order and rite and some ceremonial activity in the front of some altar. But this priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be seated at the right hand of God. And in the day of his power, his people will be willing. In the day of the power of the Son of God, in the day when he was raised from the dead, in the day when he's the head of his church, in the day when his people look to him and see in him all the fullness of deity, in the day when they look up into the face of the Son of God and he's the one who's altogether lovely, he's the lily of the valley, he's the fairest among 10,000, and when you look up into the face of the Son of God, you say, "Lord, I'm willing. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? What do you want me to support? Where do you want me to invest my money? Lord, I'm willing." In the day of thy power, I'm ready, Lord. Take what I've got. Show me where to put it. Let me give unto thee, that thy name shall be magnified upon the earth, that thy gospel shall be preached among men, and that the power of God shall be manifest in the lives of sinners, that they might be like Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Now turn back, please, to this Hebrews, the seventh chapter. Begin, please, with the 25th verse. "Wherefore he is able also to save unto the uttermost them that come unto him," or "that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." We don't have a dead priest. We don't have some kind of a commandment that just attended the Levitical services. We don't have that. We have a living Christ who will forever be alive. He will never cease to be alive. He can never be destroyed by man or anyone else. He was raised from the dead. And he ever liveth
to make intercessions for us who belong to Him, to take care of us, to hear our prayers, to direct our paths, to give us wisdom and guidance in the decisions that we make. He ever liveth to make intercession. Verse 26. For such an high priest became us. This is the one we want. This is the one we're going to have. What's he like? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, beloved, this is the Melchizedek. This is the order of the Melchizedek to whom Abraham gave his tithe. And this is the Melchizedek, and this is the order of the Melchizedek to whom you are going to give your tithe. Here he is. And Christian giving is a giving unto Melchizedek. That's all it is. Now, when you recognize that our gifts are presented to Him in His name and for His service and for His glory, you stop and look at verse 26 and 27. And when you look at verse 26, He seated at the right hand of the Father. He knows everything we have. He knows how much we're giving. He knows whether we're holding out on Him or whether or not. He knows when we promise to do something, whether we keep it up or not. He knows everything. And He's holy, and He's separate from sinners, and He's undefiled, and He's harmless, and He's made higher in the heavens. And this one now is able to deliver you and me from everything that we have. Now, I want to point out one thing right here that should be pointed out. We don't bring our tithes to Christ to pay Him for what He's done. There is no price tag on what Jesus has done for us. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, if you did have a price tag on it, you couldn't bring enough tithes to pay for it. It would be impossible for you to come and bring your tithes and bring them in. Lord, I've paid you now. I'm all right. I made things right with you for what you did for me. No, beloved, that is not here, and it cannot be here, it never will be here. Christian giving is not a payment for what He's done. Christian giving is an expression of gratitude and love on our part to Him for all that He is and all that He means to us. And if Christ doesn't mean very much to you, you just don't give very much. But if Christ means a great deal to you, you'll give a lot to Him. And our Savior said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you can measure a person's devotion to Jesus Christ by what he gives him. You don't think very much of him, you just give him a little stingy, niggardly gift. If you think everything of Him, why, you'll just give and give and give and give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, you can measure your giving by what you think of Jesus Christ. Where a man's treasure is, there is his heart. And where a man's heart is, there is his treasure. People who don't care anything about Jesus, they never give Him anything. They don't care. No interest in Him. But when you love Him with all your heart and you know that He died for your sins and that everything that you have now in eternity is in His hands and in His keeping, you just give Him everything. You have no hesitancy in saying, here, Lord, I'm just going to do everything I can to advance the cause that Thou hast given us to support here in this ministry. Now, verse 26. For such an high priest becometh us. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. In other words, Christ died once, Christ paid the penalty once, Christ made the sacrifice once, and having made it, it was finished, it was completed, and then he arose from the dead in justification of it all. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. These are the Levitical high priests. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now I am showing you these things about the position of Christ, the highest possible position. He's a priest forever. An oath has established it. He's perfect. He's harmless. He's able to save unto the uttermost everybody that comes to God by him. There's nothing lacking in him. Everything that's necessary for our redemption and for our glorification is in Jesus Christ. It's all there. And there's no one else to give you gifts to either. No one else to give them to. No one else that you would want to give them to. Except to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, I don't know whether you people realize it or not, but through these years, I've never preached a sermon quite like this one out of Hebrews. I've preached others from Hebrews, but you've never heard this one before. But I want to say to you people that your pastor just delights to preach on giving. I love to do it. I think it's one of the most beautiful things in Scripture to take all that the Bible teaches about what God wants us to do to preserve and maintain His work. God never levied a tax on anybody. God doesn't have any income tax inspectors to come around and check upon your records. God has never worked that way. God has set before you and me His Son. He set him on his holy hill in Zion. And he said, now he's done everything for you. You do everything for him. And then you turn around and you say, well, Lord, what shall I do? Well, Melchizedek received a tithe from Abraham. During the Levitical period, you had commandments. They had to bring a tithe. Anybody comes around to me and says, well, Dr. McIntyre, I don't think it ought to be a tithe. I said, what do you think it ought to be? Well, I don't believe that. All right, then. I want to tell you, beloved, as I see it in the New Testament, as I see it in our days of grace where you and I are, the tithe is just the starting place. It's just the beginning. That's all. And if Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, and that was Abraham giving to Christ, how much do you think you ought to give? How much do you think I ought to give? The minimum standard of the Scripture should be at least the tithe. And the tithe is the first tenth of your income. The first tithe, the first portion of your income, whatever it may be. If it's a salary, yes. If it's the profits from a business, yes. Whatever receipts that God gives you, which we today call income, the first 10% of that belongs to God. And don't you touch it. It's the minimum that you could possibly bring to Jesus Christ. I preach tithing. We've been preaching it all these years. Do you think for 1 minute, as I've said, that God would give us a gospel to preach and tell us to build churches, and then not lay some sort of a program and plan before us as to how He wants to be done? Of course not. He wants His people to see Christ and then give unto the Lord. And that's Christian stewardship. And that's Christian giving. And that's why we have the Every Member Canvas. And that's why we have our church. And that's why we have our budget. And that's why we have our missionaries. And that's why we have all these activities. And that's why you have a preacher whose salary you pay. That's why you have all of these things. Because this is our ministry for Jesus Christ. And when we give to it, we're giving to Jesus Christ. Folks, learn to give. but learn to give with discernment and with discrimination in the places to which you send your gifts. Learn to give unto Christ and to Christ alone.
I've thought to get everybody in the church to tithe through the years. I want these boys and girls. You know what a tithe is, honey? Do you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One of them says no and 5 says yes. Do you know what a tithe is, honey? You don't know. Do you know what a tithe is? Do you think we'd see it? You'd know it if you start coming down the street? Here it is. How about you folks on the side? You know what a tithe is, honey? You know what it is, honey? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One of them's going to sleep. 7, 8. Wake her up, will you, please? Honey, you know what a tithe is? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Honey, do you know what a tithe is? Yeah, do you know what a tithe is? Well, you're not awake yet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, 10 of you stand up. Well, you keep seated. Sit down, ladies. Just the two of them over here. Just you two. Stand up, you two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's right, you stand up. No, you sit down.
I thought I was going to have an illustration, but it's hard to get.
Well, now let me see. How am I going to work this in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. So which one of you is the first one? He's the first one. Okay, all the rest of you sit down but him. Now, some we're going to give you the Lord. Here's which one left.
Look at that. We had a whole lot we had.
Stand up the rest of you again. Look at all that. Look at it. Now sit down, please. Now, that belongs to you. But this one up here, we're going to give him to the Lord. Lord doesn't ask very much, does he? Just look at this. Look how it stacks up. Thank you, son. You can sit down. You know what a tithe is? Yeah, you're it. That's right. He's the tithe. How about over here? You folks want to be tithe? Don't you want to be the tithe? Well, these are girls. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. All right, you girls, 7. Okay, you sit down. You're the first one to sit down. That's right. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. We lost the tithe. All right, now look at that. Just look at what a good-looking crowd we have. Just look at that. You see that crowd there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, which one of you is first? Nobody wants to be first. All right, let's let this one up here. You stand here, the tall one. Everybody sit down with this one. That's right, now sit down. All right, honey, look here. Now, there's 1 out of 10, and you're the tithe. Sit down. Just imagine that. That's the percentage. No, honey. At least they won't forget this sermon, will they? I said they won't. You wait till every member of Canvas comes around. I'm going to pledge you. Right. We're going to pledge the tithe. When the ever member of Canvas comes along, we'll pledge it. All right, girls. I want to illustrate this story, and it brings it home very simply to every one of us. You and I ought to love the Lord enough to give the 9 and keep the 1. But he hasn't asked that. The minimum that he asked in the Old Testament was, he has commandments to take tithes of the people. You go out and command them to take tithes. You bring those tithes in. If you don't, why, you're disobeying the commandments of God. But we go beyond that. We go to Melchizedek. We go beyond that. We go to Jesus Christ.
And everything that the Bible teaches us concerning giving is that we ought to give and give and give to Jesus Christ our Savior. That's His ministry. And His first tenth, His first tithe, belongs unto Him. If I could get every family in this church to do it, young lady, do you people tithe? How many of you girls give a tenth of what you get to the Lord? Let's see. Well, you better listen to my sermon. How about you, young people? Do you believe in tithing? You? Let's see your hand. Only one up there, son. You're the only one that. Bless your heart. We'll have to get you straightened out. Now, how about the boys up here? You all tithe? Do you? You've all been taught. 100%. Oh my, are you folks that good out here? How many of you people tithe? Let's see your hand. Well, bless your heart. I shouldn't have preached the sermon. How many of you people, when you hear a message like this, will say to the grace of God, to Almighty God, I'm going to start it. I'm going to give the Lord the first tenth. I'm going to give Him this. That's what He's asked me to do. And I love Him. He's my high priest. He's there at the right hand of God. And beloved, if there's one person who can take care of your money, it's the Lord Jesus. If there's one person who can guard it and protect it and keep it so you won't have to waste it or spend it on a lot of other things that you wouldn't ordinarily have to spend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who does it. How much does Jesus Christ mean to us? Does He mean 10% of our income or not? It's just that simple. And that's what Paul is telling us. That's what the author of Hebrews is telling us. Abraham gave his tithes to Melchizedek. He was the prince, king of peace, the king of righteousness. He represented Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ. And if the Father of the faithful, our Father, gave his tithes to Melchizedek, we turn to Christ, who by an oath of heaven is a priest forever after this order. And we bring our tithes and place them in His hands and say, Son of God, Son of peace, King of righteousness, King of mercy, here it is. We bring it to You. We preach this Christ for you to be saved. We preach this Christ for you to be sanctified. We preach this Christ for you to have hope in the resurrection. We preach this Christ as the one who gives everlasting life. But we preach this Christ as the one to whom you and I bring our gifts, that they might be used in His hands for His glory. I love to preach on giving, on tithing, on stewardship. The Lord has no other way of carrying on His work except putting the love of Christ in the hearts of His people. And then they give. And then they give. And then they give. I told you people, I'm utterly amazed. I really am. We have these every member canvases and we go over the top and we've got to work together and go over the top, and then after it's all over and the Lord blesses us and come along with a big Christmas offering and we get $200,000 and you people come and give, and I say, well, I thought they'd given out. But you just get started. You just begin. It's amazing the way in which the Lord speaks in the hearts of the people about this church. And there's only one reason for it. And that's the fact that you love Jesus Christ. And if I can exalt Jesus Christ in this pulpit, if I can represent Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel of this pulpit, and these young girls will tithe, and these young children here will tithe, if we can teach that lesson now, it will be an abiding blessing to your life as long as you live, and you'll be able to help and advance the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got a budget somewhere near $180,000. And it's going to take every member of this church. It's going to take every family of this church. It's going to take every one of us united, standing together, nobody being a slacker or dropping out, everyone being at home next week or Sunday week when we come, everybody in this church together, because we'll be thinking of Jesus Christ. And our giving is into His hands. And oh, what a delight it will be when we can come as a whole church and see Jesus presiding over our canvas and as the one to whom we give. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank Thee tonight for this wonderful passage in Hebrews. It's so clear. We thank Thee for the young people of the church that are already giving of their tithes and they've learned this lesson. And we thank Thee tonight that we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage and that He is the one to whom we look. Bless the message. If there are any here tonight who aren't saved, wilt Thou save their souls? If there are those here tonight who drifted away from the things of God and aren't honoring the Lord, may they come back. And may they trust Him. This is our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.